So this morning, you know, obviously with my hours and hours of study, this is what I came up with, some simple stuff here. Oh, my goodness. We'll preach and we'll usher at the end. How about that? If the preaching's good, give more. No. You better give right now. Is the ushers going to come forward? Oh, my goodness gracious. This is what we know. Okay, this is what we know. Last night I got on and I said, you know what? I'm just going to be honest with you, all right? I'm just going to be real honest with you. I haven't really followed it that closely. I'm the guy that goes to Walmart. I go in there to, everybody's, you know, got basketfuls, and I go to Walmart, and I'm getting oil to change it in my car, you know, change the oil in my car. That's what I'm there for. A couple of eggs, and I found some eggs. Thank the Lord. No milk. That's all right. We'll just go without milk. Doesn't matter. I don't drink much anyway. So anyway, people are just, they're freaking out. I just haven't kept up with it, you know? I mean, I know there's, I mean, I just flew from Sioux Falls into Chicago down to Atlanta. Mike, you've probably been on planes late, or somebody. I wasn't worried about it sitting in the plane, you know. I'm enjoying life and sleeping, whatever, you know. I'm fine. I've been to 7 states in the last week, you know. Whatever. Don't get close to me, all right? Now, aren't you glad I'm up here and you're out there? So, I'm aware of it, but I'm not worried about it, okay? And that's just me. I'm not saying that we need to use wisdom. Yeah, I wash my hands, I do, but I'm not worried, you know? That's just where I'm at. But this is what we know. Turbulent, first of all, you know, how do we respond to turbulent times? I looked up the word turbulent just to make sure, because I don't always know those exactly what they mean. I can give you my Arkansas vernacular, you know? It was rough, you know, but... I just, you know, I don't know what turbulent. So I looked up turbulent. I've been on a plane where it was turbulent. It's, you know, the one coming back to Atlanta. But it was, in fact, they didn't even serve us till 30 minutes before we landed. And then they're flying down the aisle, throwing stuff at us. And, I mean, we're throwing drinking in trash. Literally, right behind where they gave it, there's a lady with a trash can. We go. It was turbulent. So anyway. Turbulent means being in a state of agitation or tumult. Would you say that you've been to stores and seen some agitation and tumult? Yeah. Amen. Disturbed, turbulent feelings or emotions. I've seen them. It's crazy. And then it's also characterized by or showing disturbance, disorder, etc. Well, there's disorder. There's turbulence. So we are in turbulent times, and people are crazy. I heard somebody stab somebody in the store the other day or fighting over something. Lord, help us. I mean, come on. And there's no toilet paper. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is crazy, man. So anyway, it's turbulent times. I'm in my bubble, I guess. I don't know. I don't go out there and get worried about it too much. But we're in turbulent times in Israel. So there's a virus, and it's called the COVID-19. Whatever that stands for, I didn't even look it up. I just, COVID-19, I know it's a coronavirus, all right? I'm not a doctor, so I can't give you all the information. But as of 11 a.m. yesterday morning, this is what we know. There's 2,254 confirmed cases in the United States and 50 deaths. Okay? There's probably 50 people that choked yesterday and died. So I'm not belittling it. I'm just saying that, you know, we've just got to, yeah, we respect it and we use wisdom. So, you know, it's a reality and it is something. And listen, if, you know, if you have an issue, go to the doctor. I'm not a doctor. And, you know, go to the doctor. But that's what we know. So this is what we know. This is now what we believe. Now let's get to the serious stuff. What do we believe? You know, it's times like this that God tests our faith. You know, all the children of Israel, they went through the journey for 40 years. God tested them. The scripture says that he tested them over and over and over and over. In fact, in the New Testament, it said he was angry with them because they kept failing the test of having faith in God. Now, we as believers say that we have faith in God, but it's times like this where really you find out what's really inside of us, what's really coming out of us. And so this is the greatest opportunity on the planet for believers, true followers of Jesus Christ. What a great opportunity for us to show Jesus and his love and his power and what he can do in the midst. We're not freaking out. We're not stabbing people. We're not doing stuff crazy out there. So this is an opportunity for us to honor God, okay? So that's what we know. So in Deuteronomy 8, I want to read something out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. I don't have any scriptures. I didn't get all that time to do all this stuff. You know, I came to practice this morning at 8 and gave her one scripture, I think. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So let me get to Deuteronomy real quick. My Bible's falling apart. I got pages flying out of it, so hang on. If I lose them, I'll pick them up and we'll get them. Deuteronomy 8 says this, and this is all the commandments. It says, "And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you to through has led you to the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you." Did you hear that? Testing you to know. God tests us to know something. What does he want to know? Testing us, or testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So God will test us at times, and sometimes these come, and I'm not saying God sent this virus. I'm just saying there's a virus, so now it's an opportunity for us to be tested. What's in my heart? Am I going to live by fear, or am I going to live by faith? You know, there's two times in the Scripture it says the righteous man will live by his faith. The righteous man, the man that's right with God, will live by. That means that you survive. That means the way you operate, the way you think, what you do, your actions, you will live by your faith. And your faith is not a blind faith. It's a faith in the living God, in the awesome, powerful, almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords. So God wants us to live by our faith. So that's where we are in these times. So we'll get to number three in my final point. Can y'all believe this? But don't worry, three is a long one. Three is the message. Number three is this. So what do we know? We know there's a virus. So what do we believe? I'm asking you, what do you believe? That's your testing of your faith. I mean, it's a time. Now, what will we do? That's the real truth of what are we going to do? What are we going to do in these times? How are we going to respond in these times? That's where I sit there and I come to the Word and I go, you know, this is what we know. Was it Hebrews 13:8? It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he will be what? And forever. Yeah, he's going to be the same in the future. Jesus hasn't changed. Jesus didn't wake up, God didn't wake up and go, the coronavirus! Ah! What do I do? Okay, I gotta start thinking. Hey, guys, come here. Count. All right, so. Somebody have a Kleenex, please. I'm not gonna tell you, I can't do that because somebody will slap me. God didn't wake up and he's freaking out. He knows what's going on. Now, let me say this. In Psalm 91, this is where I want to get to, all right? In Psalm 91, a lot of you know this verse. I just want to kind of look at it and just kind of just glean a little bit of information out of Psalm 91. This is what Psalm 91 says. Now, I'm a believer in the inspired Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that every word has power. I serve a supernatural God that does supernatural things. We live in a supernatural world. If you could take the skies and roll it back like a scroll and you could see what's in the heavenlies, it would freak us out. We live in a supernatural world. There are small G-O-D-S's, gods that people serve, demonic, and there's the Almighty Yahweh, King of kings and Lord of lords above it all. His name, I call him Yahweh, God the Father. He's our Heavenly Father. It's a spiritual world. So do we all agree that? I mean, if we believe that, it's supernatural, we just got to understand where we are. So I believe all of the Word. I believe it's powerful. I believe when we live by that Word of God that things happen. It's just truth. And a lot of people say, oh, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus. And that's good. But you know where it meets the road? When somebody's sick, or when somebody's in a situation, are they calling me? Do they say, Craig, I really believe that you follow Jesus. I want people to not be afraid to call me because I want to walk with Jesus. I know people in this church I'm going to call. As I look out here, I'd call every one of you. If I'm in a situation, I've got friends in other places that I've grown up, I probably wouldn't call them because their faith's probably not there to where they believe God's Word. But we as Christians have a great opportunity to start standing on our faith, start believing God's Word, and really believing it is supernatural and He can do something with His Word. So here is in Psalm 91. It says, He who dwells, he or she who dwells It's the first words that come out. He who dwells, that simply means this. He who sits in. He who comes to the place and sits and dwells with Almighty God. He who comes and says, you know, God, I'm going to sit right here with you. I'm not leaving. I'm not moving. I'm going to stay right here in the center of what you've got for me. I'm going to listen to your voice. I'm going to look at your word. I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to act on your word. And I don't care if anybody else that I know that calls himself a believer or not a believer, I'm going to sit in it and I'm going to act on it. So he who dwells, he who sits there, right? He who dwells and sits in the shelter of the Most High. That's the name of God, the Most High. Why do you have to say the Most High? Because there's a lot of other high gods that people put up. There really are. So he is the Most High, the creator of all. All these other demonic gods, people say, he is the Most High God. So he who sits under the Most High God, okay, this is what happens. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That means that you will be able to live and survive in the shadow. That means like branches covering something. In the covering of the Almighty God. Almighty means he is all and he's mighty. He is everything. And he is almighty in everything. There's all the might is his and he has it all. That is the God and that's the promise of his word. If that's all I knew today and that's all I preached today, guess what? I can walk and live in my life knowing that this coronavirus, I'm protected myself, I believe with all my heart, from this virus because of the almightiness of God and his covering over my life. But I'm going to go more and show you more. This is what he says. I will say to the Lord, I will say to that word Lord is Yahweh. And the Israel people won't even say his name. I will say to Yahweh, my refuge and my fortress. You know, I had a little bit of time and I kind of tried to say, God, what are you saying right there? He goes, I will say to Yahweh, you are my refuge. You know what it means? You are my refuge from danger. That's the translation out of the Hebrew. You're my refuge from danger. Okay, so supernatural God, spiritual world, God says he's my refuge from danger. Is the coronavirus dangerous? Yeah, we would agree. Listen, we don't deny it. So God is my refuge from danger. And he says this. And he says, not only that, he says, and he's my stronghold. He's my refuge from danger. And he's my fortress. Fortress is a stronghold. That means that God has a stronghold on me and I'm in a refuge from danger. I am covered by him and I have a refuge. I am in a bunker in a sense and God's protecting me from danger and I am totally protected in a stronghold because nothing can touch me because of Jesus. And we'll get to the blood in a minute, which is powerful. Okay, so then he says this, for it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper. It is God that delivers us from the snare of the trapper. And it says this, and this is translated, for it is he who delivers you from calamities and plots of the trapper. And from the plague and pestilence is how it's translated. Somebody want to say amen to that? Amen. That's what his word says. So if his word says it, now it's a matter of whether I'm going to, by faith, believe it and act on it. I'm not going to be stupid, go walk somewhere. But listen, we follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's why I went out, took my son out to eat yesterday at a restaurant, prayed over my family, plead the blood of Jesus over my family, and we go eat. And had a good dinner at Williamson Brothers Barbecue. Nice. Nobody was there hardly. So we walked right in, got our food, and had a good time, and left in 30 minutes. Went home, got some cake, birthday cake. What you talking about? Kissed on my grandkids. Had a wonderful time. So here we go. It is he who delivers from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. What does that mean? It means it's a plague. The deadly plague. Now, is that any more clear than where we are today? And he says this, he will cover you with his pinions. Pinions are feathers. He will take his feathers and like a mother eagle or a mother that would brood over their children, you know, in the bird world, whatever they would be. I'm not the bird enthusiast. It takes the feathers and they would cover over and protect the babies. And God says that He will cover you with His feathers and under His wings you may seek refuge. That's interesting how He says that. Under His wings you may seek refuge. Now, we don't have to get under His wings and seek refuge. But I'm just dumb enough to say, you know what? I ain't smart enough to outrun this thing. I'm going to, where are you? I'm getting right where you are. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to hang out for a while with you. In fact, my entire life's kind of nice right here. Underneath His refuge. So I can trust this Yahweh God and sit under in refuge and know that that danger and pestilence cannot come in and grab a hold of my life. You go, you're radical. Yep, I believe the word. And guess what? It works. It's true. I've seen God do, Mike and I've seen God do together, miracles. God does miracles. Brian Jardine's told us miracles that he's seen. God's a miracle God. He's not changed. So here we go. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Two different words. A shield is a full body shield. So God has a full body shield. Now, there's shields that they use in battle that are full body. You know, you've seen them. And those are cool. But have you seen God's full body shield? I haven't, but I guarantee you ain't nothing going to penetrate that shield. There's no penetrating, you know, bullets on that armor. And it's a bulwark. A bulwark is a little bit different. It's something usually that's rounded and wrapped around an arm. And also it's a shield that's actually kind of curved and wrapped around the body. Because I didn't know what a bulwark was. I had to look that up. That's me. I look up God's word. I look up the Hebrew and say, God, what are you saying right here? What are you really saying? So there's a shield and then there's a bulwark that's rounded around me. So God has got me under His feathers, got a shield and wrapped around me. Can somebody say a little bit of amen there? That's some good stuff. So here we go. So His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, or of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness. You ready? Or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. So noon, dark, morning, 24/7. I think God's got it covered. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say, it's not going to approach me because I'm underneath Jesus. I'm under the blood of Jesus. I'm under the feathers of God. Listen to me. And it goes on like this. Let's go to verse 10. It says, no evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your dwelling. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. In verse 15, He will call upon me, that's talking about us, and I will answer Him and I will be with Him in trouble. I will rescue Him and honor Him. And God, just in case, He says, with a long life, I will satisfy Him. So He's talking about pestilence and then He's saying, oh, by the way, and a long life you're going to have. Y'all still scared? I mean, I don't think you're scared anyway. I don't think you're scared. But I'm encouraging you. Why this? Because you can take God's word and you can share Psalm 91 with someone else. Let me tell you what God says. Hey, man, if you trust the Lord, this is what you have. You're going to be shocked, but I'm going to wrap this thing up. 1 John 5:4 says this, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. It is our faith. Our faith in the Word is not blind. Oh, I hope this works. Gosh, no. God, I think you know. Faith without works is it's dead. So that means faith equals dead. It means really there's not faith. If it's dead faith, there's no faith. So faith without operating on God's Word and His principles, all of his promises are yes and amen, is dead. So I want to share something very briefly with you. In Exodus chapter 12, and this just to kind of close us out. In Exodus chapter 12, that is the 10th plague. As we know, the children of Israel had the 10 plagues, okay? In Exodus chapter 12, what they told the children of Israel to do, what God said was this. He said, okay, what you need to do is go out and get a lamb, a perfect, spotless lamb. Bring that lamb into, basically into the family, you know. Keep that for 4 days. From my understanding and research, they probably took that animal and lived in the home with them. So anybody have a pet? Okay. You know what it's like to have a pet. You love the pet. You pet the pet. That's why it's called a pet. You hang out with that pet. I mean, you talk funny voices to that pet. You actually kiss it. Come on. Come on. Yeah, yeah. I mean, my dog is, she's on her last leg, and so my wife and I are praying that she'll just fall asleep because we don't want to have to put her to sleep. Anyway, so we're asking the Lord, please just put her to sleep because she's struggling. And so it's sad, you know, and for years, for like 10 years, I said, oh, I like Blake, I like Blake. Well, now I don't care. I love Blake. So this little lamb would come in, and for 4 days it would spend the time in the house. It says, take a lamb for each home. So the lamb would come in, a spotless little lamb. And you can imagine the kids got attached, the mamas got attached, lion daddies, y'all got attached too. Everybody got attached. And then 4 days later at twilight, that means between the evenings at 3 p.m., which, by the way, is when Jesus died, twilight, 3 p.m., between the evenings. They would take the lamb, and that's also when the high priest would take the lamb at twilight, 3 p.m., and say, it is finished, and kill the lamb, by the way. That's just free message from, you know. And that's when Jesus died, and he said, it is finished at 3 p.m., twilight. If you read the word, it's in there. So at twilight, they would take the lamb, and they would kill that lamb. They would cut its throat. Now, I don't know about you, but we've never stopped to think about what are the sounds going on of that animal. Who's the one that had to stick the knife there and cut that throat? Blood's everywhere. Okay, so I'm not trying to, you know, gross you out, but guys, you got to see, this is real. On the altar, when they would go in and they would sacrifice, it was covered with blood, covered. Their clothes, it was covered with blood. And you go, well, why are you telling me about this blood stuff? Because the blood is the power. God says that life is in the blood. Okay? If you lose your blood, you're dead. So they would cut this animal, and I'm sure it would squeal, it would scream, and do everything until it died. They would take the blood, they put a hyssop branch, and they went to the doorpost, and they put it on both sides of the doorpost, and they put it, the blood, on the top, on the lintel top. So then the blood would fall, and it would literally look like a cross. Because if it fell from the top down, and then both sides, you look like you have a cross there. Okay, so it's just a picture. So the blood was put there. Why? Because on the 10th plague, the death angel was coming over Egypt and over Goshen where they were located. And the death angel, if he did not see the blood on the doorpost, came in. And every firstborn of the animals and every firstborn of the human, it could, and you know, it could be your grandpa, it could be your mom and daddy, it could be all the way, the firstborn died. But when the death angel came to that place, he could not enter in past the blood. Because the blood stopped the death angel from coming into that house and bringing death. You got that? So fast forward into John 1:29, I believe. It says, behold, John the Baptizer goes, look, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. By the way, in the Old Testament, the sin was only covered. It was never taken away. They had a day of atonement once a year where they would sacrifice the lamb every year. And the high priest would go in and hope that God would say, yes, you're forgiven, because he saw the blood. And it said that they covered the sin for another year. Another year. Another year. Blood. Another year. But listen, every time they sinned, they would come and they would bring pigeons or something, or an animal or a bull or something, and blood, and they had to kill it. because of sin. So they saw that picture all through the Old Testament, and then Jesus comes on the scene. And Jesus now dies on a cross. At the time he died, twilight. And the blood was shed. They beat him, they did the whole thing, and the blood was shed. When an attorney goes before a court system, he will plead on behalf of somebody. They plead certain things. And it's working out the details of the case, basically. They plead. So we come into the Word now, and we take the blood of Jesus and go, Jesus, you shed your blood. That's why we do the cup, you know, it's the blood of Jesus. And now the blood of Jesus, we take that blood and we apply it to ourselves. And Hebrews says we take it and we put it upon ourselves because we've received Jesus Christ. Now when death and pestilence and diseases and sicknesses and all that try to come to us, we say, I've got the blood of Jesus covering me. And now that can't enter into the doorway of my life because of the blood of Jesus. That's what the blood of Jesus is. The blood shall never lose its power, the old song. That is what it's about, the blood of Jesus. So we've got this word in here in Psalm 91. We fast forward into the New Testament. Now we have Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I didn't understand the blood stuff. But as a small kid at 11 years old, I said, man, I knew Jesus was in my life. As I've gotten older, I begin to understand it. I asked the blood of Jesus to cover my house, to cover my family, to cover my car. And I've traveled, you know, thousands and thousands of miles with my kids. And God has supernaturally protected us from stuff that we look back and go, man, we should have been in a wreck. We should have been hit there. We should have died there. We should have. I mean, countless. You people that live long, you know what I'm talking about. Countless, countless times. We never leave a trip. My wife and I have never left in our entire married life ever. And all 3 years we've been married. We have never... And we got married at 17. So, we've never left without saying, Jesus, we ask the blood of Jesus to cover this vehicle, cover our tires, the engine, our family. Never, ever, ever had an accident. Never. And we've traveled thousands of miles. From Arkansas to North Carolina and back. Arkansas to Florida and back. From here to North Carolina back. From here to Arkansas and back. From here to Tucumcari. You know what I'm saying? The blood of Jesus. And so, guys, that's what we do now. We say, Jesus, it's your blood. And we cover myself. And in the name of Jesus, no pestilence, no disease, no sickness can enter into my body. You go, you're a freak. No, that's the Word. That's the Word of God. And what we as believers need to do is take that blood that Jesus shed and say, Jesus, you poured out your blood. And I'm believing you for your blood. Let me read this. We'll close it down. I'm just preaching off the cuff now. Going for it, huh? Anyway, amen? Amen. Is it helpful? Yes. All right.
True.
It is truth. It's the truth. And I just want to encourage you guys. I mean, I get to preach and I'm not hard and heavy. Sometimes I go, am I hard and heavy? Because I get intense, I feel. I just sense the presence of God when I start going. I feel like blowing my nose and stuff. Anyway. Y'all are scared now. Since therefore, this is Hebrews 10:19. It says, since therefore, brethren, sistren, we have confidence to enter the holy place. How? How do we enter the holy place? This is how God says we enter the holy place. You ready? By the blood of Jesus. So God says we can enter into the holy place under the pinions, under the feathers, sit in that holy place. Because of the blood of Jesus. I have confidence because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can enter and sit there. And He covers me because of the blood of Jesus. And Psalm 91 then applies from the blood. Does that help you? That's the Word. And I want to encourage you with that Word today. Don't fear. Trust God's Word. Every time an angel would appear in the Bible, what were the first words that they would say? Fear not. If something is coming to attack your family and there's terror and there's fear, you might want to question, where's that coming from? Well, if it's terror and fear, we know where it's coming from. Tell it in the name of Jesus. You have no authority in my home. You have no authority over my children. You have no authority over my life or my wife. And men, you have a responsibility as the men of your home to stand up and take that authority that God's given you. And you say, well, I don't have a wife, or I don't have kids, whatever. Pray for the other men and their wives and their kids. Pray for this body, because we are a family. So we need each other. Amen? Yeah. Here's what we're going to do. It's 11:19. Can you believe it? No. Mike doesn't believe it. I did this for you today, baby. Nothing but love.
I'm impressed.
You're impressed. Was it good? Did it help you?
Yeah.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a few minutes. We're going to take a little time. It's 11:19. I want us to pray as a family. I want us to get into little groups here, and we need to pray. Now, maybe not everybody in this room believes radically like I believe, the Word. And that's okay. I'm not condemning you for that. I will pray for you that you'll get to know this God that is so awesome, that loves you so much, that has so much for your life. But I want us to get in groups. Maybe some of us here might have to come over here or whatever, but get in groups, five or six groups of whatever, five or six people, whatever. I haven't counted the numbers in here, but just figure it out. We're adults. We're big kids. And let's get in groups and let's pray. And this is how I want us to pray. We need to pray for our pastor and their family. David told me over and over, he says, man, I'm just so frustrated. I can't be there. I said, David, we know. We're going to miss you. We love you. We love you and Julie and the kids. We're going to miss you today. I said, you've seen the broken windows before. I told the guys earlier, there's been a broken window and you have to get a temporary fix. Well, I think Mark called me he called me the plywood fix. So I'm the plywood spare window today. So you'll get the real window back next week. Well, not next week, but whatever it's going to be, who knows, we're going to come back. So why don't we do that and just pray for our pastor and family. Let's pray that God would give us the faith and the heart to believe His Word and to walk in His power and anointing. Pray over your family. Pray over your friends. Maybe you have neighbors that don't believe this and don't know this. Pray for them specifically. Probably right now there's a name coming in your head. My neighbor to the left. Yeah, ooh, that crazy one. Whatever. The one to the right. Ooh, one across the street. You wouldn't believe those people. So just pray and... Brian, I don't know if you want to play or whatever. And so why don't we do that? So everybody stand up together, all together now. All together now. Come on, people now. Smile on your brother. Everybody get together. Oh, that's a good song. Gonna love one another right now. So where are you going? You going over there? Okay. You guys have to split. You're just two powerhouses right here. We got to split you guys up, all right? There's powerhouses. You guys go and circle up. Get it. Circle up the wagons. Find some people. Circle up. You go back there. Yeah, that's where you belong. You know where to go. All right. Yeah, introduce yourself. Pray. I'll pray with you.